The Ramones were a band who started in the mid-70s in New York, and they really liked music. They were fans of rock and roll, they were fans of the 60s girl groups, and what they did was they couldn't really play very well, so they stripped down music and got it back to the basics of rock and roll. And at the time there was a lot of indulgent music around, and disco was just starting to get big. So Ramones kind of saved rock and roll. That's who they are. They're the saviors of rock and roll. And lots of bands came after them and were influenced by them because they made it possible for everybody to play.
When did you first hear the Ramones?
I first read about them in the NME, which is a British music magazine, in about 1976. And from the description, I knew that I would really like them. So I came to Adelaide and bought their first single, Blitzkrieg Bop. And soon after that, I bought an album and I haven't looked back.
What is it about their music that appealed to you?
It was fun. It's rock and roll. It's got elements of the Beach Boys, it's got the elements of pop and the girl groups and things like that. It's fast, it's got a distorted kind of a sound, it's simple, it's really funny, it's dumb, and it's romantic.
Well, 3 years after you read about them in the NME, you changed your own surname to Ramone. Why?
Actually, at the time, lots of people were changing their name. It wasn't such an unusual thing to do. And Ramone wasn't the real name of the Ramones anyway. They weren't really brothers. They just pretended. And so it just seemed like a good idea to do that.
Well, the Ramones formed in 1974, before the sort of punk revolution, and they really played right through until 1996 when they did disband. How would you say they did alter the face of rock music internationally in that 20-plus year time frame?
Just by making it accessible to so many bands. It's been said they were like Johnny Appleseeds. Wherever they went and played, bands would spring up because kids would see that it was simple, it was easy to play, it was pure rock and roll and fun. And so they were inspired to go out and get guitars or drums or basses or just sing and do it themselves. So it really did get a lot more people playing music than would have been normally.
Well, Joey Ramone died in 2001, which is when, along with Andy and Shannon, you formed Ramone's tribute band Ramonettes in Adelaide. What were you hoping to achieve when you got the band started?
I think we wanted to keep the music alive. We realised once Joey died that the real Ramones could never play again, and we just wanted to be able to play those songs live as a tribute to Ramones to show how important it was and to keep, you know, younger people being able to see those songs and enjoy them live.
Could you play when you decided to form a Ramones tribute band?
No, I couldn't play at all. I learned to play specifically for that, and even now I can really still only play Ramones songs. It's a simple style of playing, but it's very disciplined, and with the guitar and the bass, you just do downstrokes and you play very fast, and that's all I can do. And same with Shannon. She could play a little bit, but she couldn't play bass, and same with Andrew. He'd played in other bands before as a guitarist, but he hadn't played drums before either, so we were all beginners on our instruments for that band.
The sad news continued in 2004 when Johnny and Dee Dee died, and Ramonettes headed overseas to play a round of gigs in Eastern and Western Europe, England, America and Japan. How hard was it to plan such a global Ramonettes assault?
Well, it was hard, but it was fun. What we did was we got on the internet and we connected with people who were Ramones fans in different cities and asked if they were able to help us find a place to play, and if they weren't, could they, you know, put us onto somebody else? And we just gradually got a list of people who were interested in us and were able to help us and could set up a gig for us. It took months and months of work. We did two tours, and both times it was really, really a lot of work, but great fun.
You've got a fantastic film, short film, premiering at the Adelaide Film Festival, Ramones Are Not Dead, and a lot of the footage that's in that was taken on the 2004 world tour of Ramonettes. So in your mind then, did you have an idea that you were going to make this short film?
No, I think we were just capturing things as we went to document it, really. It was kind of like doing a diary or taking photographs. I had access to a video camera, so we just filmed it. And we filmed with a different camera on the 2006 tour. And once we came back from that, we realised what great material we had and that we should start working on editing it together to make a film to show everybody how wonderful these Ramones fans are in every city of the world. They're just really great people.
I love the quote in the film where you say you're missionaries playing to Ramones fans around the world. How were Ramonettes all the way from Adelaide received in far-flung places, including in Slovakia and Serbia and Croatia?
We were received really well everywhere we went, and we just realised that in every city in the world there would be about 100 diehard Ramones fans, some of them really young kids, who would come and see us without ever having heard our name before or knowing anything about us, just out of curiosity. And they all loved it. They'd sing along, they'd chant, they'd put their hands in the air. And especially in Eastern Europe, where a lot of people had missed out on rock and roll because of being behind the Iron Curtain or in ex-Yugoslavia because of the war that was going on there, they're very, very enthusiastic for it now.
As your short film explores, the Ramones have an incredibly committed fan base, both young and old, and there are countless collectors that you speak to, thousands of tribute bands that you catch up with, and many like you who've adopted Ramone as their surname. Why do the Ramones engender such passion in their fans?
Well, I don't really know the answer to that. I suppose people who are the fans think this is the most perfect band, and it becomes a lifestyle for them. It becomes an attitude. It really changes the way they live their lives. They get a sense of independence and autonomy from it. They get a sort of a liberation, an empowerment where they can do something creative themselves, even if they haven't got more than rudimentary skills. They're not afraid to give things a try and do it themselves. So that life-changing experience, I suppose, is what it is that makes Ramones have such a huge impact on their fans.
You talk about people adopting the Ramones lifestyle and attitude. If you could sum up the Ramones lifestyle and attitude, what would it be?
To question authority, to do things for yourself, not to succumb to mainstream values, to cooperate, share, that being rich and famous isn't really the end ideal in life. The actual Ramones themselves were quite dysfunctional people, and what they engendered was bigger than what they really were, and so it's quite hard to describe that. It's a bit of a paradox.
One of the fans in your documentary does talk about them being a band for outsiders. Would you agree with that?
Yes, it's something that kids who didn't feel they could fit in definitely would identify with. And the Ramones, as people when they were growing up, didn't fit in at all in Forest Hills where they were growing up. And so, yes, they definitely appeal to outsiders and they give them something to believe in. And that's why I suppose they keep on appealing to new generations of kids, even little kids.
In your film, you don't just talk to Ramones fans around the world. You manage to have a chat to Patti Smith, legendary singer, songwriter, and Lenny Kaye from her band. How did you manage that coup?
Well, we actually planned the tour specifically to go to Italy when she was going to be there, because I'd never seen her play live and I absolutely adore her. And she was part of the same scene that the Ramones started in CBGB's nightclub in 1974 in New York. And so I knew that she would have something to say about the Ramones being there in their formative time. So, we planned to play in Milan when Patti Smith was going to be playing there as well. And we were actually playing at the launch of the Ramones documentary End of the Century, but that was cancelled. So we went to the gig that Patti was playing at, to the sound check, hung around outside, waited till she came out, talked to her, told her we were making a Ramones documentary. She was happy to talk to us, and so was her guitarist, Lenny Kaye. And then they gave us an all-areas access pass so we could stay for the concert, which was wonderful. And we had to stay up all night and drive all night to get to our next gig in southern Spain from northern Italy, but it was worth it.
Have you got any other international tours planned?
No, not anymore. I mean, now that we've made this documentary, we'll try and get it into film festivals overseas, and it's possible that we could play in conjunction with the screening, but I don't think we'll be doing another international tour for a while.
Coming back to the longevity of appeal of the Ramones, there have been many great bands in the history of rock and roll music, but they have come and they have gone. Their time's passed. The Ramones are not dead. Why?
Well, the spirit of Ramones is not dead. And if you look around, you'll see kids everywhere wearing Ramones T-shirts. I can't think of any other old, forgotten band that you see children wearing the T-shirts of and still thinking it's really cool. So the spirit of Ramones lives on. People still call themselves Ramone. People still learn to play those songs like Ramones. And it's probably never going to die.